Before we start each series, we say this disclaimer that the material in these shiurim is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide any legal or halachic advice or opinion. This is not a substitute to obtaining competent halachic and legal advice from your rav and or lawyer, and consequently you should not act on the basis of these shiurim without such advice. This year is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Chaim Sugar. Our learning should be a schus for the whole mishpacha. What we're going to do is we're going to have in these two parts, we're going to have an overview of the laws of Shemitas Ksafim and Pruzbal. There are many svarim. Just concentrating on Pruzbal, I've used the Shemitas Ksafim Kilochasa. There's Nidik Arvil just came out. There's a Sefer not available, Mishnas Kesef, which I have a copy of. There is Ritzvi Cohen put out a sefer this year on Shemitas Ksafim, so there's plenty of material in it. We could have made a whole series, but we're going to do enough in these 2 weeks so that we could be yotzei the mitzvah ourselves of doing Shemitas Ksafim if we choose, or writing a Pruzbal if we choose. And we also, by these 2 shiurim, will be qualified to sit on a bez and to execute a Pruzbal, because we'll see next week, we'll learn about what the qualifications of a Besdin is. There are different shitas, but even the most lenient shita that holds that you don't need to have the biggest Besdin in the world, like the Gemara seems to indicate, holds that you should have a Besdin where the people know something about Pruzbal. The Lashon is, Tzvichen shiyu yodim inyan shmita. They should know about Shmita, ubikiyim betiv dinei ha-pruzbol. They should be experts in the nature of Pruzbol. And at least 2 people should know that. So this way, I think, you don't have to go through the whole sefer to know everything about Pruzbol. That's talking about all the different details. I think just through these 2 shiurim, we'll have an ideal of what the mitzvah d'oraisas of Shmita Ksafim are, which today are d'rabbanan, but what the mitzvahs used to be d'oraisa, and what a Pruzbol is for. And through that, we could all be parts of a bezin, at least for Ashkenazim. We'll talk about more of that next week. So let's start first with what the mitzvahs are. The mitzvah d'oraisa of Shemitah and Shemitas Ksafim, according to most shitas, doesn't apply today because Yovel doesn't apply most, so Klai Yisrael is not in Eretz Yisrael, so these mitzvahs are d'rabbanan, but they derive from these psukim. The first psukim are in Parshas Re'eh. It says, Mikei Tsheva Shanonim Tasa Shemitah. At the end of 7 years, you should make a Shemitah, meaning here specifically talking about your Shemitah of your loans. You're relinquishing rights to collect a loan. V'zed Devar HaShemitah. This is the rule of Shemitah. Shemot Koba Mashe Yodo. Every creditor should relinquish Asher Yashe B'Reyehu, anything that he has a claim on a fellow person, a fellow Jew. Lo Yigos Ezre'ehu V'Ezachiv. He should not press his fellow man for payment, ki kara shmita l'Hashem, because this is a year of shmita for Hashem, and therefore you have no right to press for payment. Now, in this pasuk, you have a mitzvah asay, and you have a mitzvah los asay. Right? Well, on the other side of the handout, we have the first is the mitzvah asay. The Rambam says like this in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, Perek Tes Halacha Aleph, mitzvah asay l'hashmit. There's a mitzvah asay d'oraisa to cancel all loans on shviyas. Shenamar, because the pasuk that we just learned says, Shamot kobal mashe yado. You have to relinquish anyone, any creditor has to relinquish all loans that are owed to him. And that's a mitzvah asay. Now the Rambam's lashon is that you have to do this on shviyas. You have to do it on the 7th year. The Sefer HaChinuch seems to disagree. He says a lashon like this. The over al zeh, if someone violated the laws of Shemitas Ksafim, v'tava es chaveiro al chov sh'avra alav shana shviyas, and he claimed payment for a debt from a debt that shviyas already passed, meaning after Rosh Hashanah in a few weeks, Bisman Habayis, at the time when the Beis HaMikdash was here, built a bitul aseh, he violated this Mrs. Hasei, Daraisa, Mavachahu over al La, besides the La, which we'll talk about soon. So there seems to be a machlokas, the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch what this Mitzvah say of Shemitah is. The Rambam says it applies now, this year. During Shemitah, it applies. Now, why should it apply? The loans don't get canceled until Rosh Hashanah, in 2 weeks from now. That's when the loans will get canceled, 2 weeks from now. So what's this Mrs. Hasei? So it seems from the Rambam, and this is the way the Mefarshim understand him, that there's a mitzvah Hasei to say, look, I know people owe me money now, and the loans are due already. We're talking at the end of the seventh year, where we're holding now, and it was due last week, 2 weeks ago, and they owe me money. So, and now it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, I know they're not going to pay me. I'm canceling the loan. I'm being mishamit. I'm canceling the loan. I'm pronouncing, declaring that the loan is canceled. The Rambam seems to say there's such a mitzvah, as I say, to declare that you're canceling the loan. The Sefer Chinuch doesn't hold there's any such mitzvah. He holds that the loans are canceled by themselves, and most Rishonim, even the Rambam, could agree that the loans get canceled on their own. It's Avkata D'Malka. Right, it's an Avkata D'Malka. They get canceled on their own. The Rambam, though, holds that there's a mitzvah, as I say, to cancel it yourself before that happens automatically the last Bein HaShemashos of Rosh Hashanah. Right, so that's the Machlokas Rambam in the Sefer HaChinuch. The Rambam holds that there's a mitzvah, as I say, for us to go and say the loans are canceled the last few minutes of this year. And the Sefer HaChinuch says, no, the mitzvah is if the lova comes next year after Rosh Hashanah in a few weeks and says, oh, I forgot to pay you that for that loan that I have from you. So there you have a mitzvah, so I say, to not get it, to tell them that it's canceled and not accept the money. You don't even have to tell them. You're not supposed to take that money. If you would take the money, you violated the mitzvah, I'll say, of the fact that the loan is canceled. That's the Machlokas, the Yireim, the Sefer HaChinuch, and the Rambam. The Yireim has, he holds that it doesn't even get canceled by itself. He holds that you have to actually declare it canceled, but most Rishonim disagree with him. Most Rishonim hold it's Avkata D'Malka, it's automatically canceled by Hashem as the year ends at Rosh Hashanah. And the Machlokas is there a mitzvah on Shviyas for us to say, I'm Mishamet the loan, I'm canceling the loan? That's the Machlokas. Is the Rambam holds that there's a mitzvah Hasei to say at the end of the year, it's all my loans are canceled, and the Sefer HaChinuch says, there's no such mitzvah. It just means that if someone would claim payment would try to pay you next year after Rosh Hashanah, and you took it, you violated this mitzvah asay. So that's the mitzvah asay of Shemitah. Now the mitzvah lo asay of lo yigos, right? The pasuk said lo yigos, Ezra Yehiv Esachiv. Don't press him for payment. Don't press your friend for payment. So let's see the way the Rambam says it. And this, you'll see, it's mukhach what we said before in the Rambam. Right, this is a continuation of what the Rambam said before. The Rambam said the mitzvah asay is to cancel the loan on Shviyas. Then he continues, v'hatoveya chov she'avra lav Shviyas, if someone claimed a loan which Shviyas already passed, avra lo sasay, then he violated the lo sasay. Shenema lo yigos esriyeh yevetzachiv. You're not allowed to press your friend for payment. Right, if you press him for payment now at the end of this year, at the end of the Shemitah year, you didn't do anything wrong. If the loan is due and he hasn't paid you yet, so it'd be a very good idea, according to the Daraisa Digadin, to press him for payment. You could better pay me now, because if you wait 2 weeks and you become a schlepper about it, so you're going to lose the loan. So certainly in the seventh year, there's no isser, there's no losase against pressing him for payment. The los hasei that prohibits you from pressing for payment, that's next year, that's in 3 weeks, that's after Rosh Hashanah, that's when it's over a lov shviyas, that's when shviyas already passed. So now that, because why is it a los hasei? Because then the Hashem had canceled the loan already. Right now the loan's not canceled, so if you press for payment, you didn't do anything wrong. You have a mitzvah hasei, according to the Rambam, to say the loan is canceled at the very last moment. You don't do it now, wait till you know that you're not going to get payment. Right, there's nothing wrong with trying to collect money you can collect. If you can't collect it, you know it's farfallen. So then, the end of the year, say I'm being mishamited. But once the year passed, so then if you are toveya him, you ask him for payment. By doing that, you violated a lo sase lo yigos, And in terms of the Beis Hamikdash, it's the Los Aseidah Araisa. Now, Chaim Kanievsky pointed out in Derech Amuna, from the Lashon of the Rambam, it's Mashma Hatoveyacho. Even if he didn't pay you, if you just ask him to pay you, you just say, hey, you owe me $5,000. And he comes back and says, you know, I learned that there's a din called Shemitah and I don't owe it to you, and I'm not paying you. But the fact that you were Toveya him, you already violated this law, which is important also, that, you know, if we forget to write a prosable and we don't, and we figure, oh, I don't have any loans, and then we make a mistake and are Toveya someone, so we'll be over that Issur Rabbanan nowadays of pressing for payment, asking for payment. Even if he reminds us, oh, what do you mean, Shemitah, I don't have to pay you. There's still Mrs. Losa say just for asking. Shemitah Sovn Kilchasa, Rav Stern, he says, so maybe you would think then, so if the Tviya is the Isser, right? So suppose I made a mistake. Next 3 weeks from now, next month, I was Tviya someone, I said, look, you owe me $10,000 for that loan. And he said, what do you mean, Shemitah? So I said, well, look, what's the problem? I already violated the law. I can't take the words back. I already made the mistake. So at least pay me now. Right, so let's do that. What do you have to lose? Like, I already violated the law. Even if you don't pay me, I was over the law. But, so you might as well pay me. So he says, no, that's not going to work because there's the mitzvah saseh. There's a mitzvah saseh of Shemot. The Rambam will agree that there's a mitzvah saseh that you have to cancel, even though he said that there's also that you should speak it out at the end of the seventh year, but he agrees with Sefer HaChinuch that if someone collects payment wrongly, from money that is not due him, he has violated the mitzvah say of Shemot. So he says, don't think that's a way out. Either way, you should not claim the loan. And once you claimed it, you shouldn't take the money because you'll be violating the mitzvah lo tase. Okay, so these are the deraisa digadins of Shemitas Ksafim. Now, what's it apply to? That's a whole sugi itself in the Yerushalmi. But Pashas, it applies only to loans. Right, we're only talking about halva. Right, the pasuk is talking about Masha Yodo is talking. It's talking about halva is over there. It's talking about loaning money. Now, if you lend your neighbor tomatoes, and the assumption is that they're going to give you back different tomatoes. You know, didn't just lend them tomatoes to put on the table to, you know, for some company. They're going to use the tomatoes and pay you back tomatoes, and assuming there's no problem with ribis, like we learned about the Hilchos ribis, saw the saw, but assuming there's no problem with ribis, and you lent them tomatoes and they're going to give you back other tomatoes, so that also also falls under the laws of Shemitah. So it's also something to be careful in case, and the laws of Shemitah apply to women, so in case our wives lent another wife some tomatoes or a few eggs, and then they're the end of the year, you're for Rosh Hashanah. And then after Rosh Hashanah, oh, here's the eggs I borrowed. So that's a violation of this din drabanan nowadays of lo yigos because shamot, because since you're not getting back the same item. If you lend someone your hammer and you want your hammer back, so that's not a hava, that's a she'ela, that you're going to get the same item back. There's no lo yigos on that, there's no shmita on that. But lending tomatoes, which they're going to give you other tomatoes back, or eggs, they're going to give you other eggs back, that's the same as money. It's like milva lahotza, and you know the tomatoes are lahotza nitnu, so that applies. The laws of Shemitah's Ksafim apply to such a loan also. If you work for someone and they owe you wages, so then wages are not subject to this law, but many times it could end up being subject to the law. For instance, if your payments are overdue, you're a certain type of business where they pay late, there's certain jobs that where they always pay late, and you're in such a job, and you say, look, you know, you owe me for 6 months payment, let's make a deal, and we'll make a payment plan to work out a certain amount, you know, over the next 9 months. So then you've converted that money owed as a loan, as wages into a loan, and that also will become a loan. So even though you think you might not have lent anyone money, but it could be if someone owes you money for work you did, or someone owes you salaries, then there are different deals you make. They also could be a zakval of kamila, it's called. You've converted it into a loan, and the laws of Shemitah will apply to that also. So it pays to be wary of such money that people owe you as well.
So if an employer, let's say you work for a Jewish employer, and he owes you, he pays you biweekly.
Right.
So let's say the next paycheck comes a week after Rosh Hashanah.
So that's fine, because that's regular wages. That's regular wages. We're talking where he owes you back page and back pay, and you know, I'm sorry, the things are bad, you know, the thing just went bankrupt, and you know, I want to make payments and work it out. So then that could be a loan at that point. Okay, so those are the mitzvahs of the loans. Now, what can you do to avoid the problem? There's a few things that could be done. The first thing we can do is a Mishnah in Shviyas on the front side of the handout. There's a rule called like this: Hamoser Shtarasa Lebeisin. If someone handed over his documents to the court, Ein Mashmitim, then those loans don't get canceled. Right? That's what you do is you have these documents where someone owes you money. Someone owes you the money, and you have these documents. And you have these documents where, you know, IOUs, all the people that owe you money with shtaros, and you give those shtaros over to Besen and say, look, Besen, I have these shtaros, I'd like you to collect them for me. Not that you're taking it to a din Torah. You're saying to Besen, look, I'd like you to make the collection for me, do me a favor. So at that point, there's no Shemitah. Why is that? So the Yerushalmi says like this. The Yerushalmi says it's a drasha. The pasuk continues, the psukim that we read before. It says, "La'nachi sigos bashir yelchoes ochicha tashmen yodecha." Whatever your brother has, you have to relinquish. And it says, "Bashir yelchoes ochicha tashmen yodecha." Your hand should relinquish it. Which, from that, the brisa that the Yerushalmi brings says, "V'lo moser shtarosa lebesin." That's only talking if the loans are in your hand, but if you handed the notes over to the court's holding these documents, so that's not in your hand anymore. So based on that, the Yerushalmi says it's mashma d'etz daraisa. The Bavli seems to say it's a svara, d'rabbanan d'kasvara, the Gemara Gittin. But Yerushalmi is mashma d'etz that once the shtar, once the documents are not in your hand, so then Shemitah won't apply to them. So that's an eitzah you have, that if you have people owing you money, and Shemitah's on the way, and he's not paying you, and he's smart, he knows that if I just hold out another few weeks, a few days, a few hours, the loan will be canceled. So, at that point, I'm stuck. So what I could do is, I could take the shtaros, the documents that I have, because whenever you lend money, you should have a document. So what you do is, you take the documents, and you give them over to the Beis Din, and you say, here, Beis Din, here's the documents, people owe me money, and I'd like you to collect for me. And by doing that, I've circumvented the Isurim of Shvius. The Rav David Pardo on the Sifri says that he brings the Raya from this Drasha that is Mashas Daraisa. So he says Daraisa, and he learns, well, how does it work? He learns that what you're doing is like the Sugin Baba Basha, that you are being machna, you're giving over the whole shtar to Besen, like you're letting them become the owners of the documents. You have to write another shtar, and you have ksiva and nesira, the different things you need to transfer ownership of a document to the Besen. That's what Rav David Pardo says is how you accomplish this handing over the documents to Besen. It doesn't just mean here you take the documents and give it to Besen. It's that you sell them to Besen, or that you transfer them to Besen through Ksiva and Mesira, so that way you're not the Taveya. It's not your document. Besen is owed the money, and they're the ones that are making the claim.
So that way they're not your Decha.
It's not your Decha, right? He's saying the Chiddush is that to make it not your Decha, you have to like really get it out of your hands into the ownership of Beis Din. This point of the Mishpat in this Mishnah's Kesef that I have, he says, so that doesn't seem to help the problem, because now, what right does Beis Din have to make the claim? It's in Beis Din's hands now, and they should be violating the din of Shemitah, because you did the last day. You said, here, Beis Din, I'm making you the owners of these loans. So now these three Dayanim are partners, and they're owners of the debt. So they're going to violate it in the Shemitah. The Panim B'Mishpat therefore argues and says that's not Shad. The Shad is the way we're used to thinking, is that I'm just letting the Beis Din have the right to collect on my behalf. Right? If I give them, here, you owe the shtarus. And when you collect, who's going to get the money when you collect it? I'm going to get the money still. Not like the Sifrei Dvaravos, or the Bezin's going to get the money and then give it to me afterwards. They'll be collecting on my behalf. But the fact that I don't have physical ownership of the shtarus in my possession, so that's the diuk from the pasuk, that's the miut that says if it's biyadecha you have a din of shmitas ksafim, but if the shtaris are not in your hands, you gave them over to a bezdin, even though they're collecting for you, but it's still your debt. He still owes you the money, but the fact that you gave it over to the bezdin, so that's a way out. That's a method of, through this miut from the pasuk, that's a method of avoiding, circumventing the yisurim involved in having a loan canceled on shviyas, because it's not in your hand anymore, it's in the bezdin's hands. That's the way the Panim B'Mishnah understands it. That's the way most people understand it. Shmitas Ksafim Kilchasa points out, brings it from Tshuvas Harash, that this is talking only where you gave it to them and said, I want you to collect for me. If you just say, here, Bezdin, you know, I'm worried, I have a lot of robbers in the neighborhood, and the Bezdin has a safe deposit boxes that they hold things for people, and you give it to them as a pikadon that they should hold for you, so that won't count, right? It's the in-between. Right? It's when you're giving it to the Bezdin, it's not that, okay, they're just going to hold it in safekeeping for you. That does nothing. It's still considered in your hands, and they're just holding your documents, and it happens to be in a safe deposit box. The same thing would be under your pillow or in your locker, wherever you'd have it. So it's over there, Bezdin's holding it for you. That doesn't count. But it doesn't have to mean that you transferred ownership of the loan, like the Sifrei Dvaravos holds, that you have to transfer ownership of the loan over to that Bezdin, because it could either be the same problem, or just you don't need to go that far. What you have to do is somewhere in between, which means you give the shtaros over to the Bezdin. Here, Bezdin, I'd like you to make the collection for me. It's still my loan. I'm giving it to you to make the collection. And through that, it's not biyadach anymore. You don't have the iser of
my loan. You collecting my loan.
That's right. And the fact that the shtaros are not in my hand, that's enough to be a mute that it's no iser of shmitas ksafim. Okay, so that's that. So we have some way out, but it's an inconvenient thing to do to collect. You have to remember all the documents, and suppose there is no document, it was in the middle of all that, right? You don't have any eitzah with that. So, but at least it's something. There are many other eitzahs. You can make a tanai, you could extend the loan to make it past shviyas. There are different things you could do, but you know, we're just trying to make it into 2 weeks here, and this week we'll talk about Moser Shtaros, so that this is an eitzah you have to give over your shtaros to Bezdin. By the way, before I forget, this, even if you're in a partnership, you know, you mentioned Derech Agav, but if there's a big partnership, and the people owe the partnership money, assuming that the partners are all Jews, so they have to also. They also have a mitzvah of and an iser of collecting a loan, and they have to. They also have to relinquish loans. That's a nogeya in the shul. Like if the people owe the shul money as a loan, the balabatim of the shul, whoever is in charge, has to remind the. You remember, someone should do that to write a prosbol on behalf of the shul that anyone that owes money to the shul, which might have been. It might be a few years due already, that money, and that became a loan already, or if there is a loan, so and that Shemitah applies to partnerships also. Okay, now there's another Isser D'oraisa that we have to talk about, and then we'll get to what a prusbol is. The Pasuk later on in Parshas Re'eh says like this, Hishamer Lecha, on the front page of the handout, Hishamer Lecha, be careful, Pen Yiyah Dover Im Levavcha B'Liyal, you shouldn't have this terrible idea, Yao is the lashon used for avodah zarah. That it's a really bad idea, lamer, to say karva shnas hasheva shnas hashmita. The end of this is the way most rishonim learn it. The end of the seventh year of shmita is approaching. It's right now. It's an elul of the end of shmita year, and someone asks you to lend you money. V'ra eincha v'achicha evyon, and your eye is bad, is evil towards your friend. Your poor friend, when he asks for a loan, below sitan lo, and you don't give him the loan, v'kara lecha el Hashem. If he appeals to you against Hashem, you will have a big chait for not giving him that loan. This is the way most Rishonim learn that the parsha is talking about loans, and it's even though it's a few psukim later, and in between there was a mitzvah tzedakah. We'll see in a second. But the Rambam, let's just give you the Rambam insight. The Rambam says this is a law about Shemitas Pesachim. He says, and later on in the same parak, halacha lama, the last halacha in Shemitas Kesafim, he says like this: Misha nimna milahalva tizchaveiro kodem hashmita. If someone failed to lend his friend money before Shemitah, shema yisachar choshela, because he was worried that the debt might get delayed, he might delay payment, v'yishame, and it will be canceled. Over below sasa, he's violated a different lo sasa, not the lo sasa that we've been talking about till now. Though you go, this is a separate law. There's a isur daraisa in refraining from giving him that loan. Shenemar he shomer lecha, because he's shomer lecha. V'chet godohu, it's a big aveira. Shemar he zero l'avtar b'shnei lavin. There's two aveiras. Shenemar he shomer lecha pen, because it says he shomer lecha pen, and the Gemara says he shomer is a lavin, pen's a lav. It's two lavin by you refraining from giving him that loan. V'atorah k'pid al machshav arazu, and the Torah cares, is very particular about this evil thought. The karasa b'liyal, it's called b'liyal, the same term that is reserved for someone who does avodah zarah, someone who worships idols. It's a terrible thing to say that it's the end of Shemitah, and you ask me for a loan, you know I'm nervous that you're going to delay payment and wait till Shemitah, and then I won't get the money back. So if I say I'm not going to give you the money, so I've done a terrible aveira. And many mefarshim say that this applies even nowadays, because once there's a mitzvah derabanan that we're not supposed to claim loans after a Shemitah, so if we refrain for any reason from lending money because it's canceled, whether it's a deraisa cancellation or a derabanan cancellation, we violated this mitzvah lo saseh to lavim, and it's a terrible thing to do. Now just, I have Rabbeinu Mechaya written over here. Rabbeinu Mechaya says that this whole thing doesn't really apply to Shemitah. It only applies, it didn't in Tzedakah. It's only talking about Evian, a poor person. If you don't pay, give a poor person money. He says, why is it over here in this parasha? Because he says, well, maybe you think, look, Shemitah's coming. What's going to happen? I'm going to have all my loans canceled. I can't work on my land anymore. And so I'm not going to lend any money out, because if I lend money out, I'm going to lose that also. I won't have any. I don't have land. I don't have my money. And I'm going to lose the loan. So that's how he says, I'm going to give up my money for a tzedakah. I can't afford tzedakah this year. I have too many debts. Right? It's been a bad year for me. I have Shemitah. I can't give tzedakah. That's what he learns, the pasuk. And based on that, tzedakah becomes a mitzvah that's man tzchara b'tzida, because it's a bracha. So that's a whole different sugya. But most Rishonim, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, and we'll see a Beferish Arayin and a Mishnah soon, hold that this pasuk is talking about Shemitah. It's a iser to not lend money. It's not an iser not to give tzedakah. It's an iser not lending the money to someone because you're afraid he's going to not pay you back. What are we talking about over here? Right? What's happening over here? When is this talking? Someone asks for money, and you're nervous he's not going to pay you back. So a stam loan is 30 days. Now, if someone asks you today, could you lend me $100 or $1,000? So you have no problem. If you lend him $1,000 today, the term is up 30 days from now, which will be Sukkot time, and you can be tovayim, because the loan doesn't become due until after... The loan doesn't become due until after Shemitah, so Shemitah doesn't cancel such a loan. So that you don't have to worry about. But what we're worried about is, suppose in the summer, 2 months ago, someone asks you for a loan, and you say, okay, I'll give you the loan, but you know that you're a little bit nervous because it's going to be due in Rosh Chodesh Elul, and I only have 30 days to pay it up. Yeah, maybe he'll stonewall and he won't be around, and you say, look, he'll be busy, he goes to Eretz Yisrael for Elul, and you won't be able to get your money back. So that's where this mitzvah applies, this is where the Isser Daraisa applies, that you're going to not give him the money because you're nervous he's not going to pay you back. You shouldn't do that. You should assume he'll pay you back. Don't worry about it. If he doesn't, if it's Shemitah happens, Hashem will take care of you, he'll give you a bracha. That's where this mitzvah applies. Now the Ziv HaYom, it's a pirush on the Yerushalmi Shviyas. He also has a sefer on Gittin. he goes so far to say that this applies even if he would ask you for the money on Rosh Chodesh Elul. He asks you for a loan on Rosh Chodesh Elul. When are the 30 days up? The 30 days are up at the end of Erev Rosh Hashanah, right? You can't be Tobeya him within 30 days. And the 30 days are going to be up. When can you be Tobeya him? Like at Bein Hashemos Rosh Hashanah, but as soon as the day ends, it became Nishmat. The loan became Nishmat. The loan became canceled automatically. Right? You can't claim him too early because the loan's not up. And as soon as the loan's up, it already became Nishmat by Shemitah. So the Zilayam says that the law of this Isser of refraining from lending money that you think Gadavar B'Liyal in your heart applies even in such a case where it was 30 days before and the loan expires at the end of the year so that it'll be impossible to collect it, it's still the halacha applies. Are you going to ask, so that's not lending money, that's giving a present away. Right, someone comes to you, this is a good deal. You'll remember for 7 years from now. So borrow money on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and you know you have 30 days, and he's can't collect it during those 30 days. And as soon as the time's up, it's going to be nishmat. So it's a good deal. So Zivayim says no, it's not a matana because you have the option. You could give the shtar to Besdin, right? You can give the shtar to Besdin, and if you give the shtar to Besdin, you have a way of collecting it. Right, so that's one option. And even if it was the middle of Baal Peh and there's no shtar to give to Besdin, right, it's still not for sure. He's not going to pay you back because he does have the right to come after Rosh Hashanah and say, look, you know, I appreciate you giving me the $10,000 and I know it's got canceled by Shemitah, but I'm giving you a present of $10,000 and you tell him, you know, it's canceled. I respect the laws of Shemitah. He says, I want to pay you the money as a present. So then you'll get the money also. So that's why the Torah is not requiring you to give a present away, to give a $10,000 present away. And if you're afraid from doing that, Yover and Isser. There's still ways you can collect it. You could give the shtar to Besdin. You can hope that he'll be a nice guy if you know him, and I advise you to give your shtar to Besdin. Right, but if you don't, there are ways that you could end up getting the payment. Right, he could be a nice guy and he'll pay you anyway. So that's and that is the pashup shot in the pasuk. The pasuk doesn't say any exceptions. That says don't think evil at the end of the year. Right, this is, and if you learn that's the end, Karvash Natsheva, the end of the seventh year became the way most of Shana learned. It's right where we're holding. It's the end of the year, and he asks you for money, and it has to be in a way where it's going to be canceled, because otherwise there wouldn't be any problem. And still, the Torah is saying, don't do that because it's a davar b'liyal, right? It's a present. So that's what he says. It's not a present. You have ways of getting around it. Okay, so far we don't know anything about Pruzbol. Let's talk about Pruzbol now. There's a Mishnah and Shviya says like this. Pruzbol ain't a Mishame. If you write a Pruzbol, the loan does not get canceled. Ze'echem in hadvarim shehizkin hilul azokin. This is one of the things that Hillel instituted. Kisharah shen nimnuhu amil havu ze'ezah. Why did he institute it? Because he saw that people were refraining from lending money to each other, and they're violating this last issue that we just talked about. You shouldn't think something evil in your heart, saying, "No, I'm not going to lend money because it's the end of the seventh year." So, because he saw people were violating that issue, he instituted a prosbol, and that's why to avoid this issur, right? We know the Gemara Gittin says Pruzbol is a takana for a bulim for the wealthy, and Pashup Shad, the Rishonim there say wealthy, it's a takana for them that they'll end up getting their money back. But based on this Mishnah, the Mishnah clearly saying it's a takana for the wealthy to prevent them from violating an issur deraita. It's also a takana for the buti, the Gemara says there, because the poor people will get their loans that they need. But the Mishnah is clearly saying this is what the problem was. They were violating the Isser, which is a raya to the Rambam and those Rishonim who hold that this pasuk really is talking about Shemitah, because it says that they were violating this rule in Shemitah and Hillel was Masake approvable. Now the Yerushalmi continues this braisa When it says Mikan Samcha Lepruzbal Shehu Min HaTorah, when it was talking about handing over your shtaris to the Beis Din, so the Yerushalmi says from here they supported the use of a pruzbal, which is daraisa. So frek the Gemara, pruzbal divar Torah. What do you mean pruzbal is daraisa? The Mishnah says befeir that Hillel was misakin it. It's a derabanan satakana of Hillel. It's not daraisa. To enter the Gemara, this is what the daraisa means. Kishahiskin Hillel, when Hillel thought of this idea, some chuhul divar Torah, he linked it. He based it on a divar Torah. And what was that Devar Torah? Because since Midor Raisa, we have a rule called Moses Darosa LeBeisin, that I'm allowed to give over my physical documents to Beis Din, and through that the documents aren't in my hand, and therefore I'm allowed to collect on it. So Hillel went one step further. This is the way Mepharshim understand it. Hillel went one step further and said, you could hand your loans over to the Beis Din even without a document. Right? You don't have to give the document over, even if it's a milvah al peh, or even if you don't want to bother schlepping and looking all around for your documents. Hillel made it, this is a derabanan digadin. Hillel said, even though midor raisa, you have to give over the actual document over to the Beis Din, and then through that you have circumvented the biyadcha. But Hillel said, look, I'm going to make it easier. I'm going to just say, and that was what we'll learn next week, exactly how you do it. But what you do is you go to a Beis Din, and you tell the Beis Din, I'm handing over my loans to you, the Beis Din. Where are they? They're in my house, they're Baal Peh, they're Arul. But whatever loans I have, I'm giving over to you. Hillel linked it, he based it on the Devar Torah. The Devar Torah, Moses Shtarotha, the Beis Din, where you actually physically give the documents over to the Beis Din, which is a deraisa method of avoiding the Shvi'is prohibitions. He said, things are getting bad. People are violating. They're getting nervous. At the end of Shemitah over here, they can't find the Beis Din. They can't find the Shtaris, I mean. They have some difficulty in doing that. For whatever reason, they don't want to. They have Milval Paz. They have Aro loans. And they're refraining from giving loans. And they're violating that second issue that we talked about. So Hillel said, I'm going to make a takana. Now how can he avoid these issue derisas? It's issue derisas we talked about, near those first two. And issue say, issue losa say, the Yerushalmi says, and the Bavli also says that this is, Pashas works only nowadays when the whole din of Shemitah is only derabanan. Right? If it be still the times of the Beis HaMikdash, you wouldn't be able to do this. But since nowadays the din of Shemitah is derabanan, so therefore you have the right, the Chacham have a right, Hillel had the right to say, look, we made the rule that Shemitah is going to still take effect, but if you go to the Beis Din, like we'll learn next week, and you tell them, I'm giving over the Shtaris to you, Beis Din, so through that you avoid the Issur derabanan nowadays of the Shemitah. Now, if you recall Bavli a little bit, Rashi says in Makkos, the Rashi Sevili over here on the daf here in Shvias brings the Rashi. Rashi says that when you're Moses Shtarosa, the Gemara in Makkos talks about being Moses Shtarosa, handing over your Shtaros. Rashi says that's a Pruzbal Shehizkin Hillel. Right? Moses Shtarosa is the Hillel, is this Pruzbal of Hillel's Takana. So the Rashi Sevili asks, he brings Tosfos, actually Tosfos asks the Kashta, that you see from Arisugya, the way we learned it, that there's two different things. There's Moses Shtarosa Lebesim, that was Mishnah Aleph, Halacha Aleph. That is that Moses Shtaros Lebesim, and Mashmitin, that was one Halacha. And that's when you physically hand the Shtaros over, and that works to Araisa, to circumvent the Yisurim of Shvias. That's one halacha. The next Mishnah said, Pruzbal ain't a Mishame. It seems to be a separate halacha, that Pruzbal is not Mishame. Certainly in halacha, that's the way it is, that the Daraisa Dikadin is that you have to actually hand over the physical documents to avoid the loan. That would you'd have to do in the times of the Beis HaMikdash when there was a Shemitah Daraisa. Nowadays, when Shemitah's Ksafim also is only Darabanan, so Hillel made a Takana, you don't have to physically hand over the Shtaros. It's enough that you just say, just orally, you just declare you're giving them over to them. The Lashon of the Pnei Moshe is, Kemoda Torah Miata Lehamosish Darosa Lebesin. So the emotion on the Yerushalmi says, just like Midoraisa, if you physically hand over the Shtaros to the Beis Din, by that you avoid the prohibitions of Shemitah. So Niskin Hochinami Niskin LePruzbal. So in the same manner, the Pruzbal was instituted. Shem Bitchila Maser Hachobil Vadla Beis Din. If you just gave over the debt without the Shtar, you just gave over the debt to the Beis Din, Gam Kenin and Mishami, that also will circumvent, avoid the Shemitah prohibitions.
But then there is no principle. You can just do it verbally.
Yeah, so that's what we'll see next week. What exactly, and the truth is, the takana principle is really the verbal declaration to the Besen. That's what the principle is. And we'll see next week. You get it and put it in writing. But the principle is, the takana principle is orally going to the Besen and declaring that you're handing over your loans to the Besen. That is the definition of principle. So what we learned tonight is, first of all, there's a Mrs. Sase, Mrs. Lo Sase, against claiming a loan. Dafka loan after Shemitah has ended. As soon as Rosh Hashanah begins, all loans of the previous year are canceled. And if you claim the loan afterwards, you violated the Lo Saseh. If you take the money, you have violated the Aseh. You can avoid that at the derisa level of giving the shtar, giving the document over to the Besen. That way it's not in your hands anymore. That's the way you avoid those prohibitions. Now, if you, for some reason, can't, and you're not going to, and someone asks you for a loan at the end of the year, then you have an issa d'oraisa which could apply even nowadays if you refrain from giving them that loan, because you're not supposed to be nervous, you're not supposed to think evil about your friend, he's not going to pay you back. You should assume he's going to pay you back, and you have to give him the loan, because Hillel saw people were violating that issa d'oraisa, which could have been even d'oraisa in his times. He made a takana that, which only works midrabanan, that you don't have to actually physically give over the loan. You didn't do anything. It's still biyarcha. The loan's still biyarcha. You just tell Besdin, I'm declaring that I'm giving over you the loans without giving them any documentation, without giving them anything. You just declare in front of the Besdin, I'm handing over my loans to you. That is the takana of Pruzbol. And once you do that, the loan is canceled forever, even if it lasts for the next 7 years. He still doesn't pay you back. You don't have to do it anymore. The loan is forever in your hands. It's in Besdin's hands now, and you don't have to worry about collecting it.